Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
The voice of Husker Nation is on the air. This is Hail Varsity Radio. Insight, opinion, expertise, along with the biggest names talking Nebraska sports. Join in with the show at 402-489-1240 or 1-800-825-5865. Now, here are your hosts, Chris Schmidt and Elijah Herbel.
Back with you, it's Hour 2 at Hail Varsity. We're powered by Cornhead Lager, Chris Schmidt, Elijah Herbel. It's kickoff the hour with Evan Bland, Omaha World Herald, at Evan Bland, OWH, on Twitter. Some football thoughts from Evan, sneaking some baseball and hoops as well. Evan, how are we doing? Thanks for the time.
Hanging in. Yeah. How are you guys on another slow news week?
You know, it's been a month straight of news, breaking news, searches, short searches, press conferences galore. And oh yeah, spring football's now into day two, and we'll hear from Matt Rhule tomorrow. So yeah, we've been reactive in a good way, and we've chewed on the South Stadium project just because, you know, Athletic Director Dannon was going to get up to speed here, probably since he settled in, had his presser yesterday, some meetings on it, and asked the question, will it help us win? We've been talking about that, comfort, convenience, and the product on the field, and the kind of the resources, the war chest. The important thing right now in college football is to have a monster collective. Nebraska has that. And just want to get your take. We've had really good feedback from our listeners on South Stadium, and folks, you know, if we're to shade it one way or the other, they just want to see really good football, winning football, more so than comfort. And we had Pete call in as well about just the pricing in general's pretty expensive to take his grandkid. That's just one voice. But, you know, what's your take on it with this South Stadium project? Do you think you'll have some more answers? There's lots of questions about it. Does it get shelved, or maybe it's a little tweaked, and it's easier to collect said tweaked money after a 10-win season?
Yeah, I mean, I think ultimately it'll probably be some more modest version of what was presented last fall. Maybe the question is what can be done with $100 million or $200 million as opposed to $450 million, and what that could look like short of a full-on demolition and rebuild. You know, it's funny. I think back to something that Trev Alberts actually said a few years ago about facilities in general, which was that they should reflect the status of a program as opposed to trying to sort of set the tone for what that program can be. And so I think it makes a lot of sense that maybe you do table this thing while Troy Dannon settles in and gets a lay of the land and takes the temperature of the donors and sees where things are. Maybe it gives Matt Rhule and Nebraska a chance to get back to that bowl game and maybe have a breakthrough season. And I'm sure that they would find it, fans and some of your higher rollers would be probably more willing to donate once there's some tangible on-field momentum and excitement and things of that nature. So I it seems like on a lot of fronts, like it would make a lot of sense to reassess, to sort of settle in with this new leadership, let a football season play out, and then see where this thing goes. Because I do think in this current climate, like, you have to sort of evaluate what's the best use of your dollars. And I thought Dannon put it pretty well when he said, like, okay, everyone at some point, even schools like Texas A&M, at some point there is a limit to the money somewhere. And so how do you allocate that in a way that does give you that best chance to win. And we've seen Nebraska invest in certainly facilities for student athletes and what they have with the football program. NIL is going to continue to be something you're going to want to invest heavily in. And so where on the pecking order does South Stadium fall? And this idea that you want to keep fans in the stadium as opposed to watching it from home or streaming or all the other options that they have now. So that's something they're going to have to decide. But my guess is it'll be some smaller version of what was presented previously.
Evan Bland with us here from the Omaha World Herald on Hail Varsity Radio. And Evan, do you have concerns that the landscape of college football 5 years from now, as it's ever changing? Dan spent a lot of time yesterday talking about that during his time at the podium. Do you worry that the landscape of college football will make it more difficult to put that kind of money into a project with potential revenue sharing with student athletes coming down the road?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's a huge expense. I mean, we heard even just a year or two ago what expense and how much planning had to go into it for Nebraska to allocate money for the Alston Fund, for the scholarships that student athletes can have. And if they achieve a certain academic standard, they would receive a few thousand dollars. Like, even that was something that I know Trev and Nebraska and other schools had to budget for. And so that, relatively speaking, is small potatoes compared to what you're talking about with revenue sharing and what percentage that could look like. And, you know, does that, you would imagine, come out of television revenue and potentially ticket sales, and like, who knows where that starts and where that ends? That would adjust coaching contracts. And so you factor all that in with whatever NIL may additionally look like in 5 years. And yeah, all that seems a lot more pressing than, you know, a new facility or renovating a part of a stadium where people can currently sit and enjoy a game. Maybe it's not perfect. You know, I've sat in South Stadium and gotten a sunburn on the right side of my face before as a student. And it's a long walk to the bathrooms down there. So, like, it's not perfect. But when you talk about how are you competitive moving forward, I just think there are more and more areas where you're going to have to invest financially before you get to that. And quite honestly, like, you look at the North Stadium facility that just is coming online now, and as gorgeous as it is and as amazing as it is, I wonder if that thing had been started 3 years later, if it would have even happened because of the financial investment that's gone into it and how much things have changed. So I don't know if now's the time to make such a major investment in the stadium. But, you know, again, it's so hard to know what things will look like in a few years, and probably the most pertinent route would not be to spend your rainy day fund on something that is probably viewed as a luxury.
Well, and, you know, the luxury is going to be quarterback, is going to be left tackle, is going to be edge rusher, is going to be defensive tackle, hybrid linebacker.
High-level radio broadcaster as well.
Well, sure, right. But in all sincerity, it is the talent you can acquire and retain, right? And Tiger Shark Diver weighs in, says, so is Dylan starting day one or what? That's one question in our stream. Let's get to that difference maker, the quarterback spot. What are you thinking we hear about so far so good with the quarterback spot tomorrow from Matt Rhule?
Yeah, I think it'll be the ongoing major headline of the spring. Certainly tomorrow will be that first chance. And we've heard a lot about Raiola and Kalen through the first couple months in terms of what they've done in mat drills. We've seen Raiola being involved in recruiting, especially in the transfer portal. But now this is that first phase where their on-field football performance is being evaluated. And that's obviously just as important as all those other intangible pieces. So, we're going to hear from Matt Rhule, what his assessment of that is. As camp goes on, we'll hear from teammates and other coaches as well. I think what's most interesting about that particular competition is that we'll have a pretty decent idea of how Nebraska feels about it by the end of spring. And like, you can think about quarterback competitions over the years. There have been some where Nebraska's taken it into the fall. I think the tell is going to be what Nebraska does in the portal right around the end of the spring game and once they get into May, because And Matt Rhule said it openly. Like, if they feel like they need to add somebody at that point, a veteran, somebody who can sort of be a security blanket, then they can do that. And if they feel like the three scholarship players they have with Henrik Harburg and Kalen and Raiola are enough, then they're going to move forward with them. And so it's a really critical point in terms of evaluating what you have. I thought Rhule said it interestingly last week when he kind of said, okay, when you get into the scrimmages and some of these workouts, like, you're going to have these moments where the quarterbacks are going to struggle, and what's their response? Or are they going to kind of shy away? Does their level of competitive nature sort of shine through in that moment? And so I think it'll be sort of a mix of statistical, evaluations, as well as sort of anecdotal looks at what they have. What are the guts of these guys just in terms of how they practice? And that's going to lead to a decision that'll obviously majorly affect what the season looks like here in the fall.
Well, the big thing is the maturity level. You can have all the arm talent in the world and be physically gifted even at a young age, but the mental part is so key. And if it's not coming easy, and Rhule's talked about doing things you hate, right? Well, it's no fun to struggle. It's no fun to throw a pick. It's no fun to be confused by a defense. How do you respond and get better from a setback? And I think Nebraska's got a couple of guys that are young in Dylan and in Kalen that are, above all, fierce competitors. And I think you got an older guy that is just like that with Harburg. I mean, yeah, he probably wasn't treated real well with his former offensive coordinator. He got a chance to shine and do what he could do, but he's got to work on being, you know, a complete quarterback in the passing game, the consistency part of it. He's got arm talent. But I think he got three dudes there that are just going to keep on chopping wood. It's kind of my take early on right now. Easier to say. We'll know more when we get comments. But I think you have three guys that you kind of profiled their mentality a little bit on top of their arm talent.
Yeah, totally. And we got a sense of what Henrik Harburg's all about last year. He was just as tough of a runner as he was a thrower. And Rhule said he's reworking some of his throwing mechanics to get the ball out a little bit quicker. People locally know what Daniel Kalen's been all about. And he was someone who was around the facility last fall, even before he enrolled. He was a major part of the recruiting efforts, stuck with Nebraska even when Raiola made the 11th hour decision to come back to the Huskers. And obviously Raiola himself, who has played high level high school football, who's done the showcases, who's been around NFL quarterbacks and professional athletes for a lot of his life. So in that sense, you know, these guys are probably older than their teenage years, at least in the case of the freshmen, would indicate. And so, yeah, it's about coming out and doing it. And Rhule said they're going to have more reps this year than they've ever had before, and that he's ever maybe put on before with some high schoolers and hit the quarterback that he's had in the spring. So it's, now's the time. You got to maximize this window. They'll be in pads here, obviously, as they ramp up and get into spring workouts. But it's just a really, I think, critical evaluation piece where the coaches, they have a sense. They think they know what they know about the quarterbacks, but now it's just going to be a little bit all the more so. And again, like, the decisions that are made now are going to be major impacts in how this next season goes. Who's the starter? Do they need to add somebody? All that stuff's going to be addressed as we go.
Evan, at what point do you think the media will first get a chance to chat with Dylan Raiola? That's something I'm kind of watching for. Just in terms of maturity, that's one of the things we talked about with this quarterback battle. At what point do you think Dylan Raiola first gets the chance to stand up at the podium, meet with the media? Is that this spring? Is that this fall? Is that somewhere even further down the road? What's your thoughts on that?
I think it'll happen this spring. I don't know that, but just thinking about in the past when there have been quarterback competitions, whoever the main players are, we usually get a chance at least once in the spring to talk with them and kind of see what they're all about. I wouldn't imagine that it would be this week. I mean, maybe it will. Maybe they'll bring him out there tomorrow and surprise all of us. But my hunch would be maybe more in a couple weeks, 2-3 weeks down the line, as things are sort of established and they let some of the older voices, the veteran players, come out and and say what they have to say. You know, they put Jamal Banks out there in front last week, and he hadn't taken any kind of a snap for Nebraska previously. So I think some of it is who do you trust? Who do you feel like can be a voice for your team and sort of add to the message and the vibe that Coach Rhule wants to put out there? And from what I've heard from Raiola speak before, like, he's pretty thoughtful, and so I don't think he would have a problem handling himself. But yeah, that'd be my guess, would be maybe early to mid-April we'd hear from Dylan.
Evan, about a minute, Husker baseball off to Northwestern, the K-State game canceled, but Baseball America out with their field of 64. Nebraska right now is a 2 seed, is an automatic bid recipient in Norman against Oklahoma. What do you think?
Well, I think right now Nebraska would be pretty disappointed if they weren't hosting a regional, to be honest with you. I mean, you look at the handful of Big Ten teams that have done that since Nebraska's been in the league, and all of them are about on the pace that Nebraska is right now, 17-5, taking care of business in the non-con in the midweek, and obviously you got to follow up and do that in the Big Ten. But I think they would feel like if they're a 2 seed at where they are at this moment, they'd probably be a little bit disappointed. If that were to play out, it'd be pretty interesting. It'd be a rematch of opening weekend when Nebraska was an out away from finishing off Oklahoma in that third game of the season or whatever it was. And but it does. This has a team that has a solid look of an NCAA tournament squad at this point. You know, I think they're probably the favorites going into Big Ten play right now, just because of the balance that they've had. And now it's now it gets into more of the exciting stuff. What can the seeding be? Could they host? A lot of that's going to play out here in the next couple months.
Follow him on Twitter at Evan Bland, OWH. Read him with the World Herald. Evan Bland with us. Evan, thanks for the time. We'll check in again. Appreciate you jumping in.
Thanks, guys. See ya.
All right. Good to talk with Evan. We'll talk some more Husker football. Jeremiah Searles on the way with Hail Varsity.